try to get an exam in at the sake of us having something to be examined about. So I'm pushing back a week so we have at least three classes in, all right? Last week, we began to talk about our will. We began to talk about how the will is the most powerful aspect of our soul. And so that's the thing that the devil plays with the most, is our will. We learned last week, you go to Galatians 3:13, we learned last week that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So being redeemed from the curse of the law, you have sound? Good, okay. Being redeemed from the curse of the law simply means that sin no longer has power over us, all right? Which simply means that we now have the power to make right choices, all right? We have the power to make right choices. And when, watch this, and when we seem like we can't make the right choices, that's when grace kicks in to help us make the right choices. Remember, grace is an empowerment. It's not just something that covers our sins. It is there to empower us not to sin. And so being that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, it gives us the ability to come from under the curse that Adam and Eve put us in. All right, it gives us the ability to be put back in a formal position where we can spend time with God, where we can get our source of information can be God. So therefore, if my source of information is God, then it's going to be harder for Satan to trick me in any way. See this. What happened to Adam and Eve was that they began to stop spending time with God. How I know this? Because the Bible says in Genesis the 3rd chapter that God had to go look for them. Right? So here's a key point. When we don't spend time with God, we make ourselves vulnerable to thoughts from the enemy. Are y'all saying this? Galatians 3:13. I told you to turn there, but I want to read it. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, the blessing of Abraham is there for us to receive, but receiving is not automatic. See, that's where we get confused. The curse of the law, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, it simply means that sin no longer has authority over us. It has no power, and its effects of sin no longer control our destiny. Are you seeing this? So having said that, that means the blessings of Abraham are there for us to have, but they're not automatic. Go to Genesis the 12th chapter. Watch this. What are they talking about, the blessings of Abraham? The blessing of Abraham is a direct opposite of the curse of the law. The blessings of Abraham is direct opposite of the curse of the law. So we can define the blessings of Abraham, watch this, as, the curse of the law is second death, eternal separation from God. So the blessings of Abraham, one of the benefits of the blessings of Abraham is that I'm continually connected to God. All right? Sickness and disease, it's part of the curse of the law. So that means that the blessing of Abraham is health, long life, right? Poverty is part of the curse of the law, right? So it means prosperity is the blessings of Abraham. All right. Now, all those things are available to us, right? But we got to do something to access them. I can be connected to God, but don't ever spend time with him. Right? Watch this. Watch this. I can, and Apostle just been hitting on this the last year or so. I can have access to all the health in the world, but if I ain't treating my body right. Right. Is that making sense? Yes, all right. So watch this now. I got access to all the prosperity there is. But if I ain't sowing no seed. So what does Satan does? Satan tries to affect our thought process so we cannot make those decisions to do those things. So this is why the will is so important, because the will is the thing that triggers our actions. It triggers our actions to do things, to trigger, watch this, to trigger things that to trigger things happen in our lives. We sow a seed, what we just did, we pulled a trigger for a harvest to come. Right? We spend time with God, right? And it triggers God's thoughts to be downloaded to us. So Satan wants to affect our will. He wants to downplay how important your will is. Go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So watch this, it says both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So that means there's two separate things going on there. That means a will or a choice is being made, and then action is taking place. So it says, for it is God was working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, wait a minute now. If I'm not spending time with God, that means his thoughts not being downloaded to me. If his thoughts are not being downloaded to me, then I can't know his will. So if I don't know his will, then I'm subjecting myself to the curse of the law, even though I'm redeemed. So being redeemed from the curse of the law does not mean I'm going to escape the curse of the law. I escaped the curse. What Christ did was gave me the right to escape. It's my choice to escape. It's my choice to escape. This is why people get in trouble when they get born again. And they think everything is going to be everything going to be smooth. No. You still got to make choices. You still. And see, this is what the purpose of the Word of God is, to feed us and to bombard us with God's thoughts, so that we can know his will. More specifically, we can begin to know his will while we're here. Why are you here? Why I'm here? Then from that, we can make the right decisions. Are y'all seeing this? So, one of the greatest tricks that the enemy has done is get people to believe that he does not exist or affect them. He sit there and manipulate all day long. People don't know. They don't know what's happening to them. People don't know. They're in the world, so they don't know what's happening to them. Have no clue what's happening to them. They think it's just them. No, it's you making the wrong decisions because you're being manipulated. Are y'all seeing this? Yes, so if it's God, he's working both to do his will and working through us to do his will and his good pleasure. Notice what's first, his will, then his good pleasure. Matthew's the 6th chapter, turn there. You know, two of the most powerful prayers that I've heard, that I've read in the Bible prayed, one came from Jesus, the other came from Paul. And neither one of them prayers were they asking for anything personal. All right? And we ask for nothing personal. Matthew, the 6th chapter, I think it's verse, it starts at verse 9. Matthew 6, verse 9. Jesus saying, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy what?
Will be done.
In earth as it is in heaven. Notice the next thing that Jesus asked for. What's the next thing he asked for? Give us this day. The daily bread is supposed to prepare us to recognize his will and to get it accomplished. See, so Jesus saying, God, this is what I want. I want what you want. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Show me what I'm supposed to be doing. Tell me how I'm supposed to be thinking. God, I don't want no thought independent of you. God, I don't want to have no thought independent of you. Isaiah 1, 18. Come, let us reason together. Go there. Isaiah 1, 18, and we're going to come back to Matthew 6. Isaiah 1. Talking about the will. Isaiah 1 and 18. Watch this. Come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins are your actions, that's what sins are, your actions, be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be, not just obedient, so how important is your will? So that means I can't hear the voice of God and just do it. Just do it. I got to want to do it. Right? Right? So, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There is a reason. Listen, baby, I'm about to use myself and my relationship with Chantel, my wife. There's some things that I'm willing to do for Chantel that I'm not willing to do for anybody else. Now, watch this. Why is that? The time we spend. The relationship we have. The fellowship we have. So I'm willing to do things for her that I'm not willing to do for anybody else. Are you seeing this? So watch this. Even if it's something that I don't like doing, because it's her, I'm going to put a smile on my face and like it. Now watch this. What triggers that? It's because the love I have for her. So watch this. Watch this. There are going to be some things that God asks you to do that you're not going to like. And this is why your will is going to have to be tied to his will. Because whenever he asks you to do something that you don't like, or you didn't think he was going to ask you to do, or you scared to do it, you can then turn around and say, okay, God, this is what you want done. Let thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, this ain't what I had on my plate, but nevertheless. Did that word nevertheless sound familiar? Because you remember Jesus was like, you know, God, if you, we ain't got to go to the cross. If you could do this some other way, God, now is the time. But Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. This is why Satan wants to mess with your will. This is why Satan came to Adam and Eve with the lies. Trying to affect, because even, watch this. Adam and Eve blamed Satan. Satan was not to blame. Because they chose. They chose to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan didn't eat it for him. Can't nobody eat this for you. No, they chose. Now, Satan may have influenced them, which means they didn't protect their environment. They didn't protect what they were hearing. They didn't protect who was talking to them. They didn't protect what information they were receiving. So it caused them to, it caused their will to be influenced. So when it was time to say no, they couldn't. Are y'all seeing this? This is why it's important. This is Romans 12 and 2. Turn there. That's why Romans 12 and 2 is so important. This is why Romans 12 and 2 is so important, because Romans 12 and 2 calls you to be able to do 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Without Romans 12 and 2, you can't do 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. We're going to turn to both of them, and then we're going to come back to Matthew's. Watch this, Romans 12. I told you we're going to use the scripture over and over in this class. I said it. I put out a disclaimer. You can't exhaust the scripture. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Why you ought to renew your mind? So you don't be conformed to the world. I don't want to be conformed to the world. Other words, I don't want to think like the world. Because when I think like the world, that means my will is not lined up with the will of God. So watch this. And watch this. If I think like the world system, that means I'm going to miss God when he's coming. Yes, sir. I'm going to miss God when he's moving in my midst. I'm not going to be able to see what God is moving at. I'm not going to be able to recognize it, because my mind is not being renewed. Because watch this. God's will is here. Well, let me say this. God's will is here and my will down here. When God has given me the right to bring my will up to his. For he wasn't talking to us when he said, my ways are not your ways. He wasn't talking to us. He was talking to some people that wouldn't connect. But how can God sit here and tell us that his ways are not our ways, but want us to do his will? How can his ways stay higher than ours, and then he asked me to obey him? Are you seeing this? So without the renewing of your mind, your will is left out in the cold. You know the people talking about the devil made me do it? No, the devil just influenced you to do it. You did it. You made the choice. You did it. Why? Because without renewing your mind, your will is left out in the cold. Because Adam and Eve stopped spending time with God, their will was left to be hijacked. So all Satan did was come in and begin to say something that was opposite of what God was saying. And because they had not been spending time with God, reinforcing, then anything was able to come in and control their will and influence it. Are you seeing this? So without Romans 12 and 2, 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 can't happen. Turn there. Without the renewing of your mind, you cannot cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the what? The Word of God is the knowledge of God, right? So if I don't spend time in the Word of God, if I don't spend time with Him, then I'm not going to be able to judge anything that comes. If I don't know it, I can't compare it. Right? So if I can't compare it, I'll do anything. Because all ideas become good ideas if I have nothing to judge it against. How many times have you come up with a good idea? You're like, oh, I'm going to get it done. Then somebody who had wisdom came along and said, that was dumb. But it was a good idea until somebody came along with experience. I mean, why? Because your mind hadn't been renewed. You hadn't been exposed to that knowledge. So if you hadn't been exposed to that knowledge, then any idea can pop into your mind and be a good idea. But if the Word of God is watch this, if your mind is renewed with the Word of God, then any thought that comes can be judged. Any thought, idea that comes can be judged. Watch this. Any idea with the Word, watch this. With the Word of God hidden in your heart, with your mind renewed with the Word of God, any idea can come that comes can be judged. So therefore, you can recognize. You can recognize if this is a God idea or it's not. The Word of God allows you to do that. See, if I'm not spending time with God, then His thoughts are not, we're not reasoning together. So if we're not reasoning together, then when thoughts come, because you get millions of thoughts every day. Some of those thoughts are God thoughts. But if you don't know the Word of God, if you ain't been spending time with God, you can't recognize. Do you know why Joshua was able to get that what seems like crazy idea? Because he had been spending time with what Moses had said. Let not this book of the law depart out of my mouth, thou shalt day and night. So you can do everything that's written therein. Then you're going to make your way successful. Then you're going to have good, you know, make your way prosperous. You're going to have good success. Right, so in the sixth chapter of Joshua, that's when God told him, see, I've given you Jericho. When after he looked and seen it was strictly set up. What wasn't going in, wasn't coming out. He was able to grab that idea. And because he had been spending time with God, he was able to hear an idea and recognize this is God talking to me. Go to John, the 10th chapter. People ask, how do I know if I'm hearing the voice of God? How do I know if it's God or not? Well, I'm showing you the pattern now. Who knows? Thank you, Holy Spirit. The same thing that happens to us today, who knows that it didn't happen to Adam and Eve? When they stopped spending time with God, when they start spending time with God, that means their minds weren't being renewed. They weren't learning about who they really were. They start spending time with Him. So when they start spending time with Him, some more information comes. Could it be possible they thought it was God? But because they hadn't been spending time with God, they're not able to recognize if it's God or not. So this is why Jesus made this statement in the 27th verse of this 10th chapter. He said, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. They hear my voice. They know me. What it mean? People who've been spending time with me. People who spend time with me. People who fellowship with me. People who spend time in the Word. Spend time talking to God. Spend time praising Him. Spend time worshiping Him. Spend time getting used to being around God. See, when you get used to being around somebody, you can recognize them. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How many times you've been on the phone with your parents or whatever, and you pick up the phone and you answer the phone, you might not recognize the number, but you answer the phone and, oh, I know that voice. You're spending time. You've been around that voice. This is why, watch this. This is why Samuel kept running to Eli. God was talking to him, but he kept running to Eli because he was used to hearing Eli's. Because they had been spending time together, and Eli was sensitive enough to say, next time that voice come, just say, God, here am I. Ask, what would you have me to do? Because of spending time. So watch this. Samuel went to Eli because God was talking to him. He thought it was Eli. You see that principle? So watch this. If I spend time with God, that means I'm going to be able to recognize him in the midst of trouble. I better recognize them in the midst of a bunch of noise. Everybody can be running one direction and you hear the voice of God say, run this way. Because you've been spending time with him. Everybody else running this way because they hear, run, run, run. But all this, Lord said, no, run this way. And there ain't got to be no loud, it's just right here. Are y'all seeing this? Once again, let me tell you something. Romans 12 and 2 is about recognition of God's will. It's about recognition. Can you recognize God when he's talking? You cannot recognize him if you don't spend no time. You can't. If you don't spend no time, you cannot recognize him. That's why I don't get... I need to know your fellowship time with God before you start speaking into my life. I need to, that's why seeing fruit in somebody's life is so important. Because if I don't see no fruit in your life, you ain't speaking to my life. Because I'm not sure you're hearing from God. See, you might be hearing from some other God. Familiar spirits and all that stuff. I ain't got time for that. Is this making sense? So when I spend time with God, I will, thank you, Holy Spirit. When I spend time with God, our wills become morphed. It become one. That's what he said in Isaiah 1:18. He said, come, let us reason together. Because at the beginning he said, even though your sins be as scarlet, when we finish reasoning together, it's going to be white as snow. Other words, your thoughts, I'm going to cause your thoughts to be pure. I'm going to cause your thoughts to be effective. Why? Because we're thinking together. Because my will, watch this, God's will and my will are now becoming one. So therefore, I have no problem saying no when I need to say no and saying yes when I need to say yes. See, there's no such thing as being a passive Christian. Because Satan is not passive. He's very aggressive. So you can't be passive. You can't play around with any idea that hadn't come from God. You can't entertain it at all. Because the longer it lingers there, you're going to be eating off that tree. So now watch this. How can I cast down imaginations when I'm renewing my mind with the word of God? You can't cast down imaginations and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You can't cast it down if you ain't spending time with God. Them imaginations, them thoughts gonna stay there and ain't going nowhere because you don't have nothing to replace them with. Or rather, you replace them, there's nothing there to begin with. So it got empty space. Are you seeing this? See, Philippians 2:13. It is God. Go back to Philippians 2, because Jesus did something. Philippians 2. Verse 5. You see that? Let this what?
Mind.
Now, let this mind, my specific mindset, it's talking about a mindset. Let this mind be in you, and it's a good mind to have. Why? All right. Which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, once again, I said this before, being equal with God, we thinking about statue. No, it's talking about will right there. It's talking about will. God, I want what you want. God, I want this to come to pass just as bad as you. I want your will to come to pass just as bad as you want it to come to pass.
Right. Yeah.
And it's not robbery to think that way. All right. Am I made in the image of God?
Yes, sir.
So if I'm made in the image of God, that means I'm made in the mindset that God has. That means whatever God wants, I want. Right? So watch this. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. That sounds familiar. That happened to us. The same thing happened to Jesus, happened to Adam and Eve. They were made in the image of God, right? And then God made took the dirt, formed man, and blew his breath into man. Right? Watch this now. But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he did what? Okay, this is key. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So that means Jesus, watch this, even though Jesus was in the same category with God, he humbled himself. What it means to humble himself? He took what he wanted and put it on the side. And God's will became his will. Are you seeing this? See, this mind ought to be in you. That's the word, say, right? Let this mind be in you. What mind? The mind that I am. God has made me in his image. He's gave me the ability to speak some things in existence, but I don't want to speak nothing to existence that he don't want in existence. I don't want anything to come in existence that God don't want to come in existence. I don't want nothing to happen that God don't want to happen. What God wants to happen, I want to happen. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, and watch this. So if I'm not spending time with God, then my will is not going to be shaped like God. If my will is not shaped like God, then when sin shows up, or when something contrary to the will of God shows up, I'm not going to be able to deal with it. And therefore, I'll be under the curse of the law. Are y'all seeing this? See, even though you've been redeemed from the curse of the law, don't mean that you won't be affected by the curse if you don't allow it. So if you got to make the choice not to be affected by the curse of the law, it's your choice. See, you being redeemed from the curse of the law doesn't take away your choice. That's why grace, no matter what you do, grace gonna cover you. That's why that ain't true. That's why, if you sinning on purpose, grace can't do nothing for you. Because grace can't override your will. See, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. He can do what he want, when he want, how he wants. He can. But God respects us so much that he will not let his sovereignty override our will. All right, God is sovereign. See, if we take our definition of God's sovereignty, that he can do what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants, and it doesn't matter what nobody else say, no matter what nobody else thinking, it don't matter what we say, none of that matter. God just does what he wants. Why he ain't stopping from eating from the tree? He's sovereign. He's sovereign. Why he ain't stopping from eating off the tree? He's sovereign. Have you ever thought about that? He's sovereign. Why did he not stop them from eating off the tree? The reason why is God loves us so much that he wants us to love him back with the same intensity. So if he takes away our choice, that means we can't choose to love him.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says love never fails. So watch this. When I spend time with God, that's me loving on him. So when I continue to love on God, that means I can never fail. That means God's will is overtaking my will. Why? Because I'm humbling myself. I'm humbling myself. I'm humbling myself. I got certain things I want to do. I got certain things I want to accomplish. But watch this. If God speaks to me and say, nah, I want you to do this. I want you to go over here. I don't want you to be here. I want you to go over here. The question is, are you going to let this mind be in you? So if I don't spend time with God, constantly reading his word, if I'm not constantly meditating his word, if I'm not constantly spending time with him, then when God speaks to me, one of two things going to happen. Either I'm not going to recognize it or I'm not going to be submitted enough to change if I need to change. Philippians, go back. We're in Philippians already. Go down to 13, verse 13. Watch this. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Look at verse 14. Y'all see that? Look what it says. What? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. How are you going to do that? Because I'm spending time with God. So if God changes my direction, there's nothing for me to complain about. Because I let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. Who thought it not right to be equal to God, but humbled himself. How he humbled himself? Because Jesus spent so much time with God. He is God. They're the same person. They had the same will. So he was like, God, look, I may want to do it nevertheless, but God, I'm going to do it your way. Will. Are y'all seeing this? He didn't do all things without what? So that means I need to be so tied up, tangled up, all crossed up with Jesus, that when I think I'm supposed to be going one direction and God comes in and say, no, you need to change direction and go this way, I ain't got no problem making a about face change. This ain't going to be no debate. Ain't going to be me trying to convince God. Ain't going to be me trying to say, well, God, I thought it was supposed to go this way. God, no, never mind. Ain't what I thought. It's what you think. Are you seeing this? If I'm not renewing my mind with the word of God, it's going to be impossible for me to recognize when God is talking. And that's where Satan gets our will. That's why Apostle talks about so much about spending time with God. Spending time, making time to spend time with him. You ain't that busy. You ain't that busy. If your day start off early, get up earlier. Do what you gotta do. Spend time with him. Read his word. One of the things I have a problem with today's society is a lot of the society don't memorize scriptures no more. The Bible says hide the word of God in your heart. That means memorize. That means memorize. Because sometimes you ain't going to be around your Bible. You ain't going to be able to get to your iPhone. You ain't going to be able to get to your iPad. You ain't going to be able to get to your computer. But when you hide the Word of God in your heart, every time you think about the Word of God, you giving God opportunity to talk to you. Every time you spend time with God, you're giving God the opportunity to say something to you that you've never heard before. But because we become so preoccupied with everything else, that's why when it comes time to make a decision, watch this. So when it comes time to do what God is asking us to do, we question to see if this really God or not. Is this really God? If you've been spending time with God, see, the reason why Jesus ain't had no issues after he said, "He nevertheless, Lord, not my will done, but thy will be done," because he knew the will of God. He's like, "God, man, if you could do this some other way, you know, nevertheless, Lord, not my will done, not my will be done, but thy will be done," because he knew the will of God. So when God speaks, he was able to hear. Just so much, you got to remember now, watch this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus was coming out of the wilderness and met Satan. Satan started talking to him. Satan started trying to affect his will. Right? And Jesus kept cutting him off. Or what the Word of God said. He kept cutting him off what the Word of God said. Then Satan left. The Bible says he left for her, so that means he was going to come back. So just because he left that one time don't mean I got to stop. Is this making sense? So if the Lord Jesus Christ had to spend time with his Father on a daily basis, who in the world do you think you are? This is the person who was given a name that is above every name. This is somebody who stayed in the ground 3 days, went to hell, and come back. Not only did he come back, he came back with all power in his hands. And he had to spend time with the Father on a consistent basis. So what makes us think that we don't have to? See, questions that you have about is this God or is this not God, you're going to have them questions when you spend time with him. You ain't gonna have no question. God, I wonder if that's your voice. You ain't got that question. You spend time with him. You spend time. And watch this. All your time you spend with God is not gonna be fireworks. It's not gonna be wind blowing in the room. The curtains moving. It ain't gonna be all that. Sometimes it's just gonna be, I am gonna sit here and read this word. See, what we sometimes we are emotionally driven. Please don't listen. We talk about this. Don't pay attention to your feelings until your feelings take you in the direction that you don't want to go. Remember what I told you about your feelings. Your feelings are indicators. Your feelings just let you know what you're thinking. It's good to have feelings because they let you know what you're thinking. Because sometimes thoughts creep in and we start feeling some type of way. And then you, let me feel. Why I feel that way? So every time you get ready to get your Bible, you're going to start feeling a certain way. So what you got to do is retrain your thoughts. Say, no, I'm going to read this Word of God, and I'm about to enjoy this. You tell yourself, I'm about to enjoy this. Because the body and the soul, but when you tell, we're gonna study the Word of God. We're gonna read the Word of God. We're gonna listen to this MP3. We're gonna watch this DVD. We're gonna do this. Hands, you're gonna lift up. And if you notice, when you do that, that your soul gets in line and your body gets in line, and then it becomes easier. See, it is a habitual thing. See, you can't run to God when you need something. We know better than that. A heathen don't know better than that. A heathen will run to God when they need something. But this is my Father. This is somebody who sent his only son to die on the cross for me. This is somebody who has gotten me out of situations that nobody knew about. So it's 1 Samuel 12, 24. I fear you only, God. Is that it? 1 Samuel 12, 24. I fear you, God, only fear you. I serve you in truth with all my heart. Now watch what it's saying here. For I consider how great things you've done for me. So when I consider all the great things God has done for me, that means God loves me. And when God, if God loves me that much, then I'm loving, I need to love him back. So I'm not going to let my body and my mind determine how much time I'm going to spend with God. Matter of fact, I'm going to, I always like to say, God is the center. Everything else revolves around. So therefore, I set all my appointments. I set all my activities. I set it around me spending time with God. Ain't nothing interfering with that. Nothing interfering with that. Because when I spend time with God, I'm able to come out and handle everything else that's around me. How can I face the world I don't know the will, God's will? Now remember, I'm built to face darkness. That's inevitable. You're going to face darkness. So why in the world would I go face darkness without knowing his will? This is making sense. So I have to make it on purpose. I got to spend time with God. When I spend time with God, my will gets stronger. I'll see y'all next week.